At her coronation in 1953, Queen Elizabeth II was presented with a Bible. And she was told, "We present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God. The most valuable thing this world affords." I'm sure many people's hearts tonight, if they think of what's most valuable to them, if they think of their finances, or maybe a piece of jewellery, maybe a piece of land or a home, maybe a family, maybe a relationship. But I believe they were right when they spoke to the Queen in 1953 and said, "This is the most valuable thing this world affords." Why? Because it tells you how to be saved from your sin. It tells you how to be right with God. It tells you how to be sure of heaven. And yet this most valuable thing that the world affords is a closed book in many homes today. The government no longer consults this book before making new laws or major decisions. And there are many living without any concern as to what the Bible has to say to them. Friend, the Bible is God's word, God's revelation to man, God's message to you. I wonder, when was the last time you opened the Word of God to see what God's Word teaches? It's interesting to note that Germany knew great blessing from God during the 16th and 17th centuries when there was a Reformation, which literally means a turning back to the Bible. We heard about that just a few moments ago, even in our announcements. That country led the way in Europe in evangelism, preaching and teaching the biblical truths of the Word of God. But as time passed, coming into the 18th century, many German scholars led the world in rejecting the idea of God and the idea of a revelation from God, the Bible. And they started new religions that really left the Lord out and left the Bible out. Nothing to do with the Bible. It was to do with intellect. And in that time, Germany became a very proud land, a land that was more pleased with what it knew intellectually than what it was like spiritually. And we know that it was in 1914 and 1939 in that country, the country by that stage in which the Bible really was a closed book. The German people, whose ancestors had cut God out of their teaching and God out of their religion, commenced the world wars that saw the death of millions of people around this world. You see, a closed book, an ignored book, a Bible which is not opened and read and obeyed, results in horrendous consequences. And I say to you, man, woman, young person, this meeting tonight, if all the Bible to you is a book on your bedside table and nothing more, a book that you open to follow along on a Sunday because the minister asks you to, that will result in horrendous consequences for you. Because when God calls you from this scene of time, you will see the face of God and you'll hear these words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Lost for all eternity in hell. What is the message of the Bible? I believe there are five words, and we've read them tonight, that could summarize the whole of Scripture from Genesis through to Revelation. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. Every time you come to God's house and you open the Bible, that's the message to your soul. Every time you see the gospel text on the side of the road as you're driving past, that's a message to your soul. Every time you see a parent praying for you, it's a message to your soul. Every time you see the godliness of friends and family, it's that message to your soul. Prepare to meet thy God. This is a personal matter tonight. And I want you to listen for a few moments as we come to God's Word, as we consider this truth, and as we would seek to find what God would say to us. As God is speaking here in the book of Amos through the farmer Amos, who was called to be a prophet, God was rebuking the people. They were coming to Bethel, they were coming to Gilgal, and they were going through a ritual, but the Lord said, come to Bethel and transgress, come to Gilgal and multiply mercies, or multiply transgressions, and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord. And here's what the Lord is saying to them. People of Israel, you're going to these religious places. Places where I've met with my people. Yes, in Gilgal. Yes, in Bethel. Places of great victory. But you're coming with your form of religion, and it reaches no deeper than your lips and your hands. It's not a religion of the heart. It's not true Holy Ghost religion. You see, they were religious, but they weren't saved. And maybe there are people in this meeting tonight, and that's you. You go to church. You go to mission. You go to all the meetings that are on. You sing, you pray. You listen to the preacher. You give money into the offering plate, but you are not saved. Notice what the Lord says to Israel. This liketh you, it pleases you. But friend, we're not asked to follow a path that pleases us. We're asked to follow a path that pleases God. And therefore, the Lord speaks, and we've read it here, how he gave them blessings, and he allowed affliction to come into their life, that they might turn and seek the Lord. But continually, we've read these lines, ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. They would not turn, they would not come, they would not obey. They would not heed the commands of God. And because they would not come, they reached their cut-off point. And God said, because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. The friend, this preparation to meet thy God, that doesn't mean the Lord was calling them unto salvation. The Lord was saying, look, you've gone past the opportunity. And you prepare to meet God in your sin. It's really irony. You get ready for the day you'll stand before God as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner and know the wrath of God poured out upon you. That's what's being said here. Too late for these people. Too late that their judgment had been signed, sealed, and was just about to be delivered. But men and women, young people, it's not too late for you. You're in a gospel meeting tonight. You're in a day of grace and mercy tonight. And if you will heed the word of God, the Lord will save your soul. And I want to take that little phrase tonight, just for a few moments as our meeting draws to a close. I want you to think about these words, prepare to meet thy God. The first thing I want you to notice is this, the one whom we shall meet. Who is the one that we shall stand before? Who is the one that will summons us at the end of time to give an account of ourselves? It's your Creator. In the beginning, God. You see, the Bible doesn't argue for the existence of God. It declares it. It reveals truth about Him. And this is one of the truths under attack today, that God is not Creator. This world happened, and there's many different scientific theories about how this world came into being. And many people are fighting against God today. And they're trying to explain God away, but Isaiah says in Isaiah 40:28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. You see, friends, tonight in this meeting, many will fight against God. But I read in my Bible at the end of time that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The greatest evolutionist that lived on this earth will bow the knee before God. The greatest so-called atheist that walked this scene of time will bow the knee before God. Those who live to discredit the gospel and the Savior, they will bow the knee before God and declare that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And friend, so will you. So will you. Ecclesiastes 12, we're told, remember now thy Creator. Yes, in the days of thy youth, but that verse isn't just for young people. Saying the best time is the earliest opportunity in days of youth to learn about God and to know about God and to remember God. But friend, the best time is now. Remember now thy Creator. Because He is the one to whom you owe your existence. The breath in your body today is because God has given it to you. The ability you have within your body today to live and move, God has given it to you. A friend, one day He'll call your soul back before Him to judge it and to send it to either heaven or to hell. Not only is He the Creator, but prepare to meet thy God, He is the all-knowing God. His understanding, the Bible says in Psalm 147, is infinite. It says in Proverbs 15, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. In Psalm 139, verse 2, thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising, thou understandest my thoughts afar off. And here we're brought to another facet of the character of God. Not only is He the Creator, but He's all-knowing. Friend, He knows everything about you. He knows what you've been thinking today, what you're thinking right now, where you've been, what you've been doing. God knows all about it. There's nothing God doesn't know about you. Things you've long forgotten, every conversation, every word, every thought, every action, God knows it all. God knows everything. And that's a fearful thought, because in the Word of God, we're not only reading Him as Creator and as all-knowing, but we read Him as holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Our God is a holy God. What does the holiness of God mean? What does it mean that God is holy? Well, it means He is entirely free from evil. And He's absolutely perfect, pure, and good. A friend, just as God is holy and free from all sin, we're born in a state of sinfulness that finds us free from all goodness. Nothing of merit or profit to come before God. And because God is free from all evil and all impurity, then He commands our reverence, our worship, our awe. He is the standard of all holiness. A friend, because He is holy, He's in complete opposition to sin. Do you realize tonight in this meeting, if you're not saved, you're in opposition to God and God's in opposition to you? The Bible describes sinners as the enemy of God. And therefore, as that enemy, you'll be defeated at the end of time, cast into hell. You know, as we view God's holiness, as we read the Word and read about this God whom we will stand before, then we start to become very aware of our lack of holiness. Just how far short we fall of the glory of God. I read that's why people don't like the Bible. That's why people don't like gospel preaching. Because whenever the Bible is open in front of them, this mirror of God's Word shows them themselves as they really are. People don't want to be told they're sinful. People don't want to be told that their lives bring offence to God. They want to be praised. They want to be clapped in the back and applauded. They want to worship and praise the creature more than the Creator. You see, the Old Testament reveals God's holiness. The law teaches God's holiness. And the cross demonstrates God's holiness, because God must deal with sin in a correct way. The wages of sin is death. And that's why on the cross of Calvary Christ died. For your sin and for mine. He paid the debt of our sin by dying on the cross of Calvary. But not only is God all those things, he's also unchanging. You see, some people have this opinion, well, you know what, that's the way it used to be in Bible times. That's the way it used to be in the Reformation times. That's the way it used to be in Victorian times. But we're living in 2016. Friend, God has not changed. God's standards have not changed. His word hasn't changed. The way we have to approach him and come to him, it hasn't changed. And if you come to a church that tells you there's some other way to get right with God and to come to God other than the way that the Bible has come, that is a false teaching. And the very basis of it is from hell. Because there's only one way for you to be saved. And one way for you to be sure of sins forgiven. See, we are fickle. We chop and change like the wind. But God is the same yesterday, and today, and forever. And I'm thankful to say that while God is creator, while he's all-knowing, and while he's holy, and while he's unchanging, thank God, the scripture declares him as a God of love and grace and mercy. That's why we read John chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How do we know God loves us? He died on the cross to save us. How do we know there's grace here? Because, friend, tonight you have lived your life in rebellion against God. You've lived without him in your sin, and yet he spared you tonight to be found in the gospel meeting. That's grace. Do you realize if you died before you come into this meeting, sinner, you'd be in hell. The Lord's allowed you to live on to this moment. You don't know when your time will be. I don't know when my time will be. But friend, there's grace in the fact you're found in a gospel house tonight. So that's the first thing we think about. The one whom we shall stand before. But secondly, let us think about the preparation that shall be made, because it says, prepare to meet thy God. We will meet our judge, and the preparation that must be made is that the barrier of sin that is between us and God must be removed. That's the only way we'll get to heaven, when the barrier of sin is removed. We're born as sinners, and therefore there's a barrier between us and God. That means no access to God, no relationship with God. There is no way that we can be a friend of God without having our sins removed. That means tonight we sit here as sinners. Without Christ we sit just a heartbeat from eternity, a heartbeat from hell. So what must be done tonight? My sin must be removed. Little children's chorus says, there is a city bright, closed are its gates to sin. Not that defileth ever can enter in. And therefore that barrier of sin must be taken away, and the record of our sin must be destroyed. And that's exactly what Christ did on the cross when he said, it is finished. That's the word tetelestai, which was used in those days in the Greek. And it would have been placed at the bottom of a bill to say that the debt that was owed had been paid. It's a legal term. And the debt of our sin has been paid, and therefore the record can be cleared. We owe nothing to the Lord. The Lord cannot punish us whenever we have a clean record. And the only way we can have a clean record is when our sins are removed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But friend, there's something else that needs to happen in our lives if we're going to be ready to meet God. Not only does our sin have to be removed, my nature has to be changed. I'm born as a sinner and I have sinful desires. And those desires need to be changed. And that nature needs to be changed. I need a new heart And that's exactly what the Lord gives to those who receive a new heart. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. We need new desires. We need a new affection. We need a transformation of the heart that will be seen in our outward lives. You see, whenever you get saved, there'll be a desire for new things. Do you remember, if those who are saved in this meeting, do you remember before the thought of a prayer meeting? How boring. Thought of going to church? No, I'm not interested. But you see, whenever you're saved, the Lord put a desire in your heart to be with the people of God, to pray, to read, to come to God's house. That's the work of God within the heart. And friend, we need the heart changed and we need the sin dealt with. And only Christ can do that. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you need to prepare to meet God by turning to Jesus, turning away from your sin, turning away from trying to please God, turning away from your way of getting to heaven, and agreeing with God that you're a sinner, and asking the Lord to save you through the blood that Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. And writer said, see him hang in open shame on a cross that bears my name, that's my Saviour. See him wear a crown of thorns. See him mocked and laughed to scorn. He's my Saviour. Many people don't like the cross preached. They want the gospel without the blood. But can I say to you, there's no way to heaven but by the cross. And there's no way to be cleansed from your sin but through the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And that's why the message of Scripture is prepare to meet thy God, and you prepare to meet God by coming through Christ. And writer said, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Jesus says, come unto me. Why unto Christ? Because he died for you. He bore your sin in his own body on the tree. The work has been done. The preparation has been made. And all you need to do tonight to be saved is to rest upon his work. Lord Jesus, I believe that what you did on the cross was for me. And I ask you now to save me. And I'm depending on you for my salvation and for heaven. Friend, tonight you'll know the joy of sins forgiven. Notice what I said. You need to go to the Saviour. Salvation is not coming to a church. It's not becoming good living. It's not becoming a Protestant or a Free Presbyterian or anything like that. It's coming to the Lord and asking for mercy. Final thought tonight is this. We thought about the one whom we shall meet. We thought about the preparation that must be made. Final thought is this, the solemnity of the command. It's a solemn command because it brings us face to face with eternity. We don't like to think about death. We don't like to think about the time whenever we will leave the scene of time. But the reality is we're all walking toward that day. There very often, I'm sure in this community, like other communities in Northern Ireland, you know what it is to walk behind the coffin of a loved one. Or to be stopped in the street that you're driving through to wait until the funeral passes. We're reminded on a daily basis that death comes to all unless the Lord comes again. And friend, that is a solemn thing. You start speaking about death and people clam up. You start speaking about death and the conversation goes a wee bit dry. But it's so important that we think of this tonight. It's so solemn because here's the reason. We don't know when we will meet God, and therefore this is urgent business. We don't know when we will meet God, therefore this is urgent business. Remember sitting in a P3 classroom and there were 12 children. I was one of the 12. And one Christmas we came into school and the teacher brought us round her knee and told us little boy had passed away. Knocked down the previous night on the way home. Remember Sunday school, little girl coming into her class, most beautiful girl, which went into first year at the high school. She died with leukemia. Remember a relative leaving us to the airport and say, we'll see you when you get back. getting the phone call to be told he had passed away. And folks, you all could give me your examples. Just suddenly, without any warning, life was taken. Opportunity ended. Time was through. And folks, all that mattered was that the person was ready to meet the Lord. And folks, that's all that matters in life. Oh yes, we have big decisions to make. What we'll do with our lives. Whom we shall marry, where we shall live. Many, many important decisions, but there's nothing, nothing, nothing more important tonight for you to get right in your life than to know that you're ready to meet God. And I urge you tonight, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Well, of God, I'd be going home again. I have a week's work planned out, things to do, places to be, people to see. But if the Lord should call me from this scene of time, I can say with confidence I know that I'm ready to meet God, because one night as a 7-year-old child, in a hospital bed in the Mid-Ulster Hospital in Ockerfeld, just about 10:20, the lights were out, I should have been sleeping, but I couldn't sleep because I was so concerned. I knew I wasn't saved. But I thank God I went into a faithful Sunday school. I thank God for Sunday school teachers and children's meeting workers who taught me well. And you know what that night I did? I said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and take away my sin. And when I die, take me to heaven to be with you. Now what happened that night, in a few simple words of a 7-year-old child, the Lord Jesus Christ came to save me. My sins were washed away. The barrier was removed. I became a child of God, and thank God I'll be in eternity in heaven, not because I went to Bible college, not because I tried to preach, but because one night as a 7-year-old child I said, Lord, save me. I made my preparation. Remember being in Tasmania in Australia and preaching there for several months a few years ago. An old Dutch man in the congregation took a turn and was rushed to the hospital, and I was called, and I went to the hospital. I remember speaking to him, and he looked at me and he said, I'm not scared to die. I'm ready. But I'm praying God will give me some more time on this earth, because I want to live to see my family saved. But if he should take me, I'm ready to go. I'll never forget that. I was amazed. He was at death's door. And he said, I'm ready to go, but I'm praying for a little longer to win my family. And the Lord gave him that little extra time to see his family won for the Lord. Friend, not only is it solemn because it brings us face to face with eternity, not only is it solemn because we don't know when we shall meet God, but it's solemn because there's a possibility that someone in this meeting will refuse to heed the command. Someone in this meeting will get up and walk out the same way they came in their sin. You see, friend, I can't save you. I can't carry you to the cross. I can only lay the claims of God's word before you, and what you do after that is between you and the Lord. But I beg you with all my heart, don't disobey or refuse God's command. Don't play about with your soul. This is not my gospel, it's the Lord's. Because one day, if you die in your sin, you'll stand and give an account of this meeting, 4th September 2016, in Market Hill Free Presbyterian Church. And you'll have to give an account of why you refused to obey the will of God. Message of Scripture, prepare to meet thy God. In the days of the pioneers in the United States, they wanted to go from east to west. And as they were going through this newfound land, there was great danger. Many times prairie fires started up and just swept along with the wind, and so quickly they travelled, they could even, the very horses, the fastest of the horses couldn't outrun those prairie fires. Many people died because of the great danger of the fire that was coming towards them so quickly. And they had to figure out a way to escape the fire. So what did they do? Well, they came up with a very, very ingenious solution. When they saw a prairie fire coming in the distance, or the smoke in the horizon, they would light a designated piece of ground and set it on fire, and then put it out. And then they would stand with their horses and their wagons and their family, all on that ground where the fire had burned. And as the fire came up across the prairie towards the family, it went right around the area where the fire had burned, because the fire had already been there. And effectively they were able to pass through the fire and continue on until they got to the west coast of the United States of America. And folks, whenever the fire of God's judgment comes to sweep men and women and boys and girls into hell for all eternity, there's only one place of safety. And that is a place where the fire of God has already fallen. Almost 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, God's anger, God's wrath, the fire of God's judgment was poured out upon Christ. And if we take our stand at the cross, then on that day of judgment, we'll be safe. Nothing to fear, because the Lord will welcome us into heaven. And here's my question as we close. Have you been to the cross? Are you saved? Are you ready to meet the Lord? I said before and I say it again, that's all that matters. If you're here tonight and you need to be saved, you would like to speak to me or one of your elders, please say to me at the door. I would love to show you from God's word how you can be saved. Do all you need to do tonight, friend, is in the seat that you're sitting by your head, and ask the Lord to save you. Worry not what your family will say, what your friends will say. Worry not about what you think you'll have to give up, friend. You be concerned tonight that when you stand before God, you stand in grace, in His righteousness, and not in your sin. Prepare to meet my God. Let's